venerable religious and dear parishioners, two topics were kind of rolling around in my head, so to speak. I was thinking, of course, of the gospel today, which is an illustration of the dignity and sanctity of marriage, that Jesus would work a miracle at the wedding feast to which he was invited. My thoughts are also on the church unity octave. And I was thinking, can I possibly combine the two? Can I address both? It's better often to just stick with one topic, but sometimes you can find a connection between two things and bring them together. And I did, a word did come to mind. And that word is blueprint. Blueprint. We all know what blueprints are. Every building, except for the most rudimentary, you know, pole barns or even those may need a blueprint, or a shed that you build from scratch. Practically every building needs a blueprint. And without those blueprints, how do you even start? What's the plan? It may be, that plan may be in the foreman's mind, but it may not be in anybody else's mind. And even the foreman, unless he's, you know, very well experienced and has built many buildings, he may not need that blueprint as much. But his experience in building good buildings comes from the fact that he has followed accurately and consistently many a blueprint. So buildings need blueprints. Otherwise, they will have severe problems. They may even fall down. They have to be well designed on paper before they can ever be a well-designed structure. Wouldn't it be the utmost in pride and foolhardiness for somebody to say, I don't need a blueprint, I know what to do. Again, for really simple things, that's not a problem. But for anything with detail, the more elaborate it is, the more the need for a blueprint. God has given a blueprint for family life. God has given a blueprint for marriage. We don't have to devise a spiritual plan from scratch for how marriage should work, for how family should work. It's already there. It's already there in God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. It's already there in the teachings of the church. The popes, through the centuries, have written many wonderful documents about marriage, about the family. And of course, they're explaining what God has already taught. They're explaining what's there in the scriptures. But you see, our problem is I don't think we go often enough to the blueprint. And we're wondering why we're having problems building the structure of the family. The more concerns there may be, the more you have to go back to the blueprint. Check to see how these things are going, according to what's on paper. And this isn't just any book, as we know. The teachings of the church aren't just any book. They are using the very authority of God, the scriptures at the highest level, of course. Well, the teachings of the church and the scriptures, they are scripture and tradition. There it is. So follow that. I was just thinking of in the book of Proverbs, the last chapter, 31, has an entire chapter just on the ideal wife. Now, there isn't, to my knowledge, a chapter like that on the ideal husband. But, you know, piecemeal at least, or in scattered places throughout scriptures and the New Testament especially, there are teachings, blueprints for how to be the father of a family, for how to be a husband. St. Paul says, for example, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husband as the head of the family. Obey, even, that the St. Paul uses that word. Recognizing his role of leadership. So this is what God wants us to do, to follow the blueprint, to fulfill our roles. The husband can't fulfill his role as a wife, and the wife can't fulfill her role as a husband. God made men and women different. And this is where we serve one another. Fulfilling our roles is service. It is charity. It is growing in virtue. So again, the blueprint is there. And obviously, as human beings, we're going to fail. We can't say, I've done it perfectly. Nobody can say that. But we can at least strive to keep going to as close to the blueprint as we can, trying to improve. This is what God asks of us to do. And so, again, the wonderful blueprint, marriage, let it be held in honor. Our Lord is honoring marriage by his presence. You know, there have been heresies in past centuries that looked down on marriage. And yet we know very clearly what the teachings of Scripture are. Christ honored the marriage by his presence. He was not just there for the wedding, he was there even for the celebration. They ran out of wine. This doesn't mean people were committing the sin of drunkenness. We don't want to make that inference. Our Lord and our Lady wouldn't have stayed there if sin had been going on. But they had drunk freely, I mean, partaken of wine. But what a thought. Think about this. In every wedding, Jesus needs to be invited, and his Holy Mother, and his disciples, and even to the celebration. Let there be nothing in the celebration in the way of sinfulness that would make Jesus have to want to get up and leave. Our Blessed Mother, get up and leave, because sin is happening. Catholic standards are not being observed. Bad music is being played. Drunkenness happens. We don't want that. We want to honor the spiritual presence of Christ among us. So again, such a clear exhortation to the dignity and sanctity of marriage. It is a sacrament for any two baptized people that are married properly. They not only are in a lifelong union, and yes, that's part of the blueprint for life, but for any two baptized people that are married properly, they also receive the sacrament of matrimony. Christ did not have to do that. But because our Lord loves the family so much, he gave the sacramental bond to the state of marriage, making something good and holy even better and holier. As I said, I was thinking also blueprint in terms of chair of unity octave. And here again, we don't have to try to figure out what kind of the best church to have. After all, can we human beings improve on God? Of course not. We are infinitely below God in our capabilities. But our Lord gave a blueprint for his church. And sad to say, throughout the centuries, so many heresies have arisen, which basically amounted to human beings saying, I have another blueprint. I have another plan for a church. It can only be doomed to failure. There's only one religion founded by Jesus Christ. And I know the problem with Vatican II is it began to say, let's acknowledge all of these man-made religions as having inherent value. Well, that's where they gave the store away. We have to uphold. It's not a matter of pride. It's not a matter of I'm better than you. We should be humble and grateful about this. But we are blessed to have the true faith, the unchanging Catholic religion. And that's what we all have to adhere to. We have to die for it, if need be. That's what all the martyrs did. They gave their lives because they knew Jesus' blueprint was the right one. There can be no other blueprint. So as we pray for the conversion of others, let us do so with that humility and gratitude that we've been so blessed, that we are so, so blessed in what we have. One last point, and I don't want to fail to mention this. As we think of Jesus' blueprint for the church that he founded, this marvelous edifice, yes, it has had its trials and tribulations throughout the 20 centuries of its existence. But another very clear, unmistakable part of his blueprint is his mother's role. We definitely have the maternal aspect in our Holy Catholic faith. There are religions that exclude that. Very patriarchal, very much on the male-dominated side, so to speak. Not our Catholic faith. The greatest creature of God. Well, I can't say Jesus Christ because he's God himself. His human nature was created, yes. But after Jesus, the greatest creature is a woman, and she's a mother. And she has such power with Jesus, as we read in today's gospel, that even though he says to her, woman, my hour has not yet come, she doesn't continue to discuss. She just uses her maternal power in that wonderful, motherly, womanly way. Just do what he tells you. She knew Jesus would concede to her because she asked him. That's the kind of power that Mary has with Jesus. Don't you ever forget it. And when he said woman, just remember too that this is a word that doesn't translate very well into our modern language. If a man said woman to especially his mother, he'd be guilty of disrespect. You don't ever say that to your mother. But you have to understand the context 20 centuries ago. The way the word that was used was more like lady, domina, a lady with power. That's more the way that Jesus was using woman. And also, I believe that Jesus was saying woman because he wanted his hearers to know that she was fulfilling the prophecy of what I think is the most central verse in the whole Old Testament, Genesis 3:15. I will set enmities between thee and the woman. And at the end of that verse, she shall crush thy head. So there was very great reason for Jesus as he's unfolding the mystery of his religion, the truths of the faith, for him to use the word woman. And in the right context, we can understand what he was doing. And he would say, woman, as he's dying on the cross, as he's giving her to us to be our mother. So don't forget, such an important part of the blueprint. Have a great devotion to Mary and keep growing in that devotion. Jesus is pleased. He certainly fulfilled the fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Let no one dare to ever put Our Lady down in our presence, not when Jesus has gone to such great lengths to honor and allow her to use her intercessory power with Him. So let's follow the blueprints. Keep reading the blueprints. We will always be inspired to greater and better things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.